friendly.
It's a great place.
Good weather.
You're listening to ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland. Queensland!
Woo! And we've still got that laid-back atmosphere.
A very clever collage of book covers put together by Megan Daly. She's here now to talk about them. She reads more kids' books than kids themselves, I guess. No, she's not refusing to grow up. It's just her job. Megan runs the blog Children's Books Daily. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Excellent. So, yeah, nice job on that.
Thanks.
Yeah, so where are we going to start?
You've well, got I've got too many, and I can either talk really fast, or we'll see how we go.
You can never have too many. And the one cover that really got my attention was Pig the Star.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, we have to start there because this book arrived in my letterbox last week, and it's the new Aaron Blabey book, and everyone can breathe a sigh of relief because it is as good as the other Pig the Pug books. He's Pig the Pug. I don't know if you're familiar with Pig the Pug, but he's become quite a phenomenon, and there's over 1 million Pig the Pug books have been sold now. And this is the latest one. And in this one, Pig is a bit gangster. He's a bit hipster and he's a bit
hip-hopster. The cap's on the side of his head. He's
wearing
sunglasses.
Yeah. And him and his companion, Trevor, are back in sort of the 90s. It feels like the 90s to me. And they're on a shoot for a film and they're trying and a photo shoot. And Pig, as always, is trying to take Trevor's glory. And in the end, Trevor really does surpass Pig as he normally does. You may not know what I'm talking about, but if any of the listeners out there know Pig the Pug, they will absolutely understand. Pig is a pug and he's not very friendly. And Trevor, the sausage dog, is his long-suffering companion. They are hilarious.
So my kids would love this because they love pugs, particularly my son.
Very on trend.
But I'm guessing that younger parents would probably love this too because it sounds like a bit of old school 90s hip-hop kind of thing going on.
It's really 90s. Yeah, it's a really good 90s one. Oh, and it actually reads, for that lovely cast back in 99, I'm just so sorry. I just looked at that dedication from the author. That is so funny.
There you are.
So, yeah, it was very 90s, which is my era, and I loved it, and the parents will too. It's a great one.
So you said over 1 million books sold in this series. Why is it so appealing?
Look, they're a bit subversive. Pig the Pug is just not a particularly nice character, but there's something quite lovable about him as well. And they're just, I don't know, Aaron Blabey just really gets that subversive humour down pat. They're very short books, but they're laugh out loud funny, and you kind of know you shouldn't be laughing because they're just a bit wrong, but they're very, very clever, very clever.
All right. Well, if that's a bit wrong, what about a title like I Just Ate My Friend?
Yeah. Now, this one, again, I came across quite recently, and Heidi McKinnon is the author-illustrator, and it's actually her first picture book ever, and I'm really interested to see where she goes with her career because if this was her first one, I think she could do astonishing things. This one is really funny. Title is I Just Ate My Friend. And I pick up this book all the time and I kind of have a bit of a chuckle to myself and imagine the little monster in my head. He says, I just ate my friend, in a really low, grumbly voice in the book. And there's very few words, but it's about this little monster character who really desperately wants a friend. And then he sort of accidentally eats his friend. And so then he has to spend the rest of the book looking for a new friend and nobody really wants to be his friend.
Oh, poor monster.
I know. Well, he didn't really mean to eat his friend. And it's a good one for, it's really tough for kids making friends when they first go to school. It can be, fraught. And I really like it because we had lots of good discussions at school with this book about, how to make friends and how to keep friends. And, you shouldn't really eat your friends, should you, Mrs. Daly? So it was a nice one to have quite a lighthearted conversation about the best way to make friends. And it's probably best not to eat your friends.
Just another one
that's laugh out loud funny, but also just really clever and beautifully designed. The design of the book is just stunning. It's quite sparse. And I have not looked at what the author has done previously, but I don't know if she's a graphic designer or something. It's beautifully designed. It's the sort of book.
But you said it's her first picture book.
It's her first picture book. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So very, very nice coffee table one, I think.
Yes, for coffee drinkers under the age of 7.
That's right.
Yes, lovely. Okay. All right. What about the Big Hug series? Who's this aimed at?
This one I've spoken about multiple times, and I've spoken about it on this show as well. I adore this series, and I feel like every family should have this series at home. It's written by a child psychologist called Shona Innes, who I found out recently lives in Queensland, which I didn't realise. And I've, as I said, I've reviewed her books a number of times. She's got titles like The Internet is Like a Puddle, which looks at the sort of cyber safety element. And then she's got one called Life is Like the Wind, which is about grief. Family is Like a Cake, yes, which is about all families are different and that sort of thing. She's got one about love, one about self-image. And they're just beautiful. They are aimed at young children. So definitely that early childhood from 5 years old up to like 8. But, you know, I've read quite a lot of them with my grade sixes at school over the years. I just find them really sensible. They're the type of books, like I said, that I feel like you should have on your shelves at home, because there are those times in life that just come up, and sometimes children, you know, you're floundering for the words to talk to children about grief or about divorce or about, you know, online bullying. I feel like Shona Innes in these books has given parents and children the language to talk about those things in a really calm and really lovely way. So
it's not an easy thing to do.
It's really not. And I would have thought that maybe a child psychologist wouldn't maybe have made the best children's author. But, oh, she's just done a really great job. And I particularly like the two that have just come out are Anger is Like Armour and Your Mind is Like a Garden. And the Mind is Like a Garden one is about mindfulness, basically, and it's about how your mind is like an amazing garden.
Got to nurture it, feed it all the right things.
That's right. Yeah. And then you can go down different tracks that lead in different directions, and you know, it's just a lovely book about growing and learning from your mistakes and being mindful and being present. And then the anger one is obviously about dealing with the difficult emotion of anger and how to control that and how to feel that and how to just deal with it. And I just always feel like, so I think there's about 8 in the series now, and I just always feel like with each new title, she explores a different area that's important for families to discuss.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Really like it.
Powerful series. Yeah.
Very.
Okay. The Big Hug series by Shona Innes. Fluke by Leslie Gibbs and Michelle Dawson.
Yeah.
What's this one about?
Oh, look, I read this one to my preppies at school today, and then we had a lovely time listening to whale noises online, which obviously are beautiful and soothing, and, you know, preppies didn't believe me that they were the noises that I made them listen to were real. They couldn't believe that was actually what a whale sounded like. But this is a beautiful story about two whales who, it's based on the true story of, in 2012, there was a southern right whale who gave birth to a calf in Sydney Harbour. And the book actually starts with this beautiful line: "The little southern right whale was born under the shadow of the Great Harbour Bridge." And there's this absolutely gorgeous illustration of a shadow in the water of Sydney Harbour of the bridge, and it's just gorgeous, a mother whale and her baby whale. And it was actually, in 2012, it was actually the third time in recorded history that a southern right whale had been born in the harbour, which I didn't know.
Right.
And this mother and calf stayed in the sheltered waters of the city's bays for several months before they headed out into the Antarctic waters. And the people of Sydney were obviously really entranced by this presence of this baby whale so close to the city. So this isn't a non-fiction book, but it is based on that story. And it's just beautiful. The illustrations are just, I don't know, they're just beautiful. And it's so nice to see Sydney reflected in this book. And a lot of the children were able today that I read it to were able to recognise parts of Sydney that they'd seen before. And they all knew the harbour, even if they hadn't visited Sydney. So it was just one of those, I felt like it would be a really good gift book for overseas visitors as well. But
right,
it was also
yes,
a really lovely book for reading about whales, and then we all borrowed whale books after we read this one.
Yeah.
And the other thing I really like, and I've talked to you, I think, before about end papers. End papers are those pages on on a picture book at the start and the end of a book. And when I'm a grown-up, I'm going to have an end paper art gallery because end papers are often, you know, works of art themselves these days, and these ones are super cool. So the story is fiction.
Oh, right.
And it's just a story of this whale and her calf. But on the end papers are these gorgeous sort of, I don't know, watery words, I suppose, of all sorts of facts about whales. So there's a non-fiction element as well. So there's things like the southern right whale is one of three right whales that belong to the species, and I can't pronounce that word. This is why you should always read things before you get on radio. another fact is southern right whales were almost hunted to extinction, and it's just got lots of really good information. So after you read the story with young children, you can then read those facts with the kids. Nice. So I like that.
Yeah.
Great idea. Nice addition to the story.
All right. Fluke by Leslie Gibbs and Michelle Dawson.
Yeah.
Ginger Green, Playdate Queen.
I am hooning, can I just say. I think I'm going to get through my 10.
Are you? Let's see.
I reckon with 5 minutes left to spare.
All right.
Okay, so I really love this series. It's by a lady called Kim Kane, and it probably is one aimed at young girls, but I've got another series which I'll mention at the end which is very similar but probably more boy-focused. So Ginger Green Playdate Queen is a really good series for little readers who are just starting out on their independent reading journey. So they've read all of their readers at school and they're starting to be able to read books independently, and these are done as a teeny-weeny little chapter book. And honestly, kids just think they are so great. Like, they're really adult when they can finally read a chapter book and borrow one from a library.
Yeah.
So these are hugely popular at my library. And my own six-year-old said to me last night, she was finishing one off, and she looked up at me and she said, "Can we go on a really long plane trip?" And I said, "Why?" And I was thinking she was going to moan because all of her friends have been on a plane and she hasn't. And she said, "I just really think these books would be good for a very long journey. I could read them on the plane." And I thought, yeah, typical librarian's daughter. It was a proud parenting moment, really. She would choose to read a book on a plane.
Yes.
But,
did
you know,
she get the plane trip?
No. But she's just, this has been her first series that she's read independently, and she just thinks she's the aunt's pants. And I love it when a child finally finds something they can read by themselves and they just feel so very proud of themselves. And Ginger Green is, I think she's a fox. I'm not really sure what she is. She's a little fox-like character, and she has all of these play dates, which is a very big thing for 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds who this series is aimed at. And all of the different books in this series, one's called The Fancy Friend, one is called The New Friend, The Friend Next Door, The Crazy Friend. So it's just about little friends that Ginger Green has play dates with. And they're just nice little books about navigating social situations and some social etiquettes. So there's a little bit of, you know, moral messaging in there, but it sort of doesn't hit the kid over the head. They're just really light, lovely stories, but children can read them independently.
Nice.
And if you do have boys that need something about the same level, there's an excellent series that has just come out called the D-Bot series, which I've reviewed as well.
And D-Bot.
Okay. Yeah, they're great.
All right. Fairy Dances, Dancing Days. Yes. One for the girls as well?
Probably. Yeah, probably one for the girls. The first book in this series came out a couple of years ago now, and there's actually wallpaper based on this book, and you can get fabric, and you can get all sorts of sort of merchandise around this book, and it was extremely popular when it came out, the first one. So this second one has come out, I mean, I know we are nowhere near Christmas, and I'm so hesitant to even mention the word, but this would be an excellent giftable Christmas book because
did you have to? It's not even September.
I know. The only reason I mention it is there's three stories in the book, and the last story is called The Fairy Christmas. So I'm guessing they're kind of aiming at the Christmas gift market. I know, it's only September. It's dreadful. It's not even September. But this is an incredibly beautiful series. It's a gorgeous little hardcover book with beautiful, beautiful end papers. And both of my daughters have cushions made out of fabric from the end papers of these books. The illustrator is a lady called Cheryl Orsini from Sydney, and the author is a lady called Natalie Jane Pryor from Brisbane. Gorgeous story about Mia, Emma and Grace, who are all ballet dancers, and they, there's just everything, I don't know, they're just gorgeous. The first story is called The Fairy Sleepover, and in their holidays they get to have a sleepover with their dance teacher, Miss Ashley. They have all sorts of fairy adventures. The second one is about robots and fairies, and it's about how boys come to join. They have to do a concert with some boys who are robots. Just like, they're just really lovely stories. And sometimes it's nice, you know, I was talking about those big hug books before, which I adore and children do really love as well, but sometimes kids just want to escape into a fantasy world. And, you know, my own daughter, the other daughter, has been reading The Magic Faraway Tree, and sometimes it is really just nice to escape into that magical world.
Yes.
And I think that's what The Fairy Dancers does so well and is why it's so popular, because it's just completely beautiful and magical and special.
It sounds like you escape back into your childhood every time you read
something. I totally do. I was a dreadful ballet dancer. I fell off the stage once.
He didn't have to confess to that on radio.
I was dressed as a penguin and I fell off.
Well, penguins can't dance. Oh, no, hang on. Happy feet. You're listening to ABC Radio Brisbane in Queensland. Megan Daly is taking us through some new releases in children's literature. Play Like a Girl by Jo Stanley.
Oh, I feel like such a fraud talking about this series.
Why?
Because I am not known for my sporting prowess, but I've become quite good friends with the PE teacher at school, which is just all kinds of awkward. So I'm often jumping around showing her new sporting books. Like, I don't know, she must think I'm such a loon, but I'm like, oh, look, I found another book about sport. Maybe we could talk about it. And this series is written by a radio personality, I think from Sydney, called Jo Stanley, and she's done it in association with, I don't know, the AFL people. I should know that, shouldn't
okay.
I? Somebody
judging
should
by that jersey on the cover, it looks
yes. Yes, look, it says AFL there.
There you are.
AFLW, and the W is for women.
Yes.
So it's women's AFL.
Right.
You look more knowledgeable about this than I do. Anyway, this is a new series. The whole series is called Play Like a Girl, but it's about a group of footy mad, AFL mad girls, and each book takes on one of the different characters. So the one that I read last night is called Bring It On, and it's for lower primary, I would say from about grade 2 to 4. They're very, very short books, really great for reluctant readers or kids that want a really fast read. And each book is about sportsmanship and enjoying being active and enjoying football, and there's AFL tips in it, which I didn't understand. There's footy cards at the back, which are player
footy
profiles.
Right.
And while I understand absolutely nothing about AFLW, I was really, really impressed with this. I thought Jo Stanley did an excellent job of making someone who knows nothing, I still enjoyed it. And it was a good story, well written. I was very, very impressed. And I went in with low expectations.
Okay, but did the footy cards in the back come with chewing gum?
They did not. Do they normally?
Yeah, bubble gum. Yeah, they used to once upon a time.
Back in the day, in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Early.
Yeah, the 1890s. All right. What about To the Lighthouse by Christy Byrne?
Okay. Well, I was reading this one to grade 4 today. I read it to some other classes a few weeks ago, and I enjoyed it so much today. I had a spare after the grade 4 lesson, and I actually just kept reading it, which I never do because, like, teachers are silly busy and I never have time to sit at school, but I actually had to sit and finish reading it.
Indulgence.
Ah, so enjoyed it. It's just so great. It's about the third time I've read it. It's set on Rottnest Island, and what I really like about it is it's about, again, middle primary. I liked it because there's this beautiful mother-son relationship. Mum is terribly overprotective of her son, Isaac, like so ridiculously overprotective. And Isaac is aware of that, but he just kind of manages mum's overprotectiveness by having his very responsible face, which he just uses with her all the time, even when he's trying to be a tiny bit irresponsible. He's not naughty. He's just trying to be a normal kid. And he finally convinces mum to go on a bit of an exciting holiday, which is to Rottnest Island. And he meets this young girl there called Emmy, who he just thinks looks like she has a much better time because her dad, who she is with, is not supervising her at all. And so he kind of pairs up with Emmy and they have a few adventures on their push bikes together and they buy donuts at the local shop and they look at the quokkas. Then they start daring each other to do things and they're having all this fun, but then Emmy starts to, the dares get a little bit more, I mean, nothing untoward, but the dares get a little bit more irresponsible probably. His mother wouldn't like it. And they go on a secret midnight adventure and both realise they've probably gone a bit too far. Absolutely gorgeous story about great family relationships, positive family relationships. Really interesting that it's set on Rottnest Island. I loved that the setting was a little bit different to the normal realistic fiction books that I read with the sort of grade 3, 4, 5. Yeah. Lots of nice stuff about lighthouses, which are always a popular thing to include in books. I just really enjoyed it.
Lovely. Okay, so The Lighthouse by Christy Byrne.
I've got about 3 minutes.
That Stubborn Seed of Hope by Brian Faulkner.
I'll talk really quickly because I've got two young adult ones.
Okay.
This one is fabulous. It is definitely for lower to middle secondary, so this is not a primary school book. Please don't give it to your small children. This is a book of 10 short stories about fear. So fear of dying, fear of the unknown, fear of rejection.
Some big ones there.
Really big ones. Very quite heavy content, but oh my gosh, filled with a lot of a lot of light as well, not always, but done with a light touch, I guess, is what I mean. They're not going to terrify young readers. But what I really like about it is it's exceptionally hard to find a good collection of short stories. And I think this is an excellent collection of short stories. Great one for schools to have in their school libraries. Probably an excellent one to study in secondary English classes. Really impressed with it.
Okay, The Stubborn Seed of Hope. Yeah, the title should suggest it all, by Brian Faulkner. And last but not least, Because of You by Pip Harry.
Oh my gosh, I just loved this one. Definitely one for 16 plus, maybe 15 plus at a pinch, depending on the maturity of your child. It's got themes of homelessness, hope, addiction, alcoholism, community service. It's about this young girl called Tiny. She's 18 and she's homeless and she's been living rough for about a year on the streets before she finds some short-term accommodation in a shelter called Hope Lane. It's a dual narrative. The other person in the story is Nola, and Nola is in year 12 and she's got everything she could possibly want in life. She's required to do some volunteer work and she ends up at this Hope Lane where Tiny is a resident. So to date, Nola has avoided anything to do with homeless people. She's sidestepped them in the street and tried not to look at them or think about them. So she finds her placement at Hope Lane extremely confronting, and in fact, she sort of runs out of her first session and thinks she won't be able to go back. But she ends up with this feeling, this quite strong connection with Tiny, this 18-year-old resident at Hope Lane. It's only a short-term accommodation centre, so Tiny can't stay there long-term. And it's about probably Tiny getting back on her feet and the unfolding story of why she is on the streets. The characters are incredibly authentic, and although a lot of the people that read this book won't have the experience of living on the street, I think there's a real relatability about the characters, which I find young adult readers really crave and look for in their books. I read this book over one weekend. I had to keep stopping because it was quite heavy at times, but it's my favourite young adult book probably of the year to date. I think that's a big, big call.
Yeah. That's a really big call.
I think it probably is.
Okay. Well, Megan, you've done well.
I know. Sorry, I talked at a million miles an hour.
No, you did not. So Because of You by Pip Harry, Megan Daly, take a breath and take a bow. You've done a fantastic job. And thank you so much for being part of the program.
Oh, I love coming in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do.
We love having you in.
Thanks.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.